receive the morning offering real quickly, and then going into the message. While they're coming, let's go back to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your many blessings. God, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Dear Lord, we thank you that we have that hope, dear Father. Our faith and our trust has been put in you. And God, we are looking forward to that land of promise, dear Father, to that heavenly home, and to that the people that have gone on before us to see you as our Lord and Savior, and to see all the saints of old, dear Father. Looking forward to that day. But until then, dear Father, we pray that you would use us for thy glory. We pray, dear Father, that as we receive this offering, dear Father, you bless the gift as well as the giver. And dear Father, it would be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom, to make heaven sweeter, dear Father, by leading more people to you. And God, we pray that you bless in a mighty way here this morning. We ask it in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Said and done this morning. Appreciate the musicians and the choir and the special singing. If you got your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Genesis, chapter number 13, and the book of James, chapter number 1. Book of Genesis, chapter number 13, and James, chapter number 1. If I could title today's message, it would be The Links to a Fall. Have you ever heard the saying that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link? I'm sure Miss Carol and all her trucking and stuff, she could use all the chains in the world, but if she's got one that's got a weak link, it's going to make for a bad truckload and a bad transportation. I was reading or heard the story of a plane crash that happened, and it all happened because the cargo and stuff on the inside wasn't strapped down securely enough, and the cargo shifted, and the pilots couldn't control the plane any longer because the cargo had shifted out of control. And such can be the case in our lives if we have a weak link in the chain. And after having a great week of revival this past week, I felt led to encourage us this morning to find and look for any of those weak links in our life along the way. And to illustrate this, I want to take us back a little bit, a few thousand years ago, back to Abraham and Lot. But before we get to Genesis chapter 13, I want to read to you James chapter 1, a couple of verses, and then we'll jump to Genesis chapter 13. In James chapter 1, verse 13 through 15, listen to what James said. He said, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Temptation, the evil desire, dragged away, enticed in sin, and then led to death." That's the accident chain waiting to happen, if you'll have that. The accident chain waiting to be broken. So now, over in Genesis chapter 13, I want you to see that those two verses, or those three verses, played out in the life of Lot and Abraham, and how did it transpire. In Genesis chapter 13, I want to begin reading at verse number 1. Verse number 1 reads, "And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abraham," or Abram, "had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, There be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And you can read the last part of the chapter where Abraham, where God gives a promise to Abraham. But this morning, I want to share with you, if you will, five links or five parts of the chain that can, if we're not careful, they'll get weak and they'll break in our lives, and we'll not prosper for the Lord. We'll fall into temptation. We'll fall away from the Lord. But you notice the very first link as we read through chapter number 13. You get down to where Lot and Abraham, they had a family conflict, if you'll have it. And how many of you, I'm sure we can all raise your hand and think of times in the past where a church got into a conflict and they decided to separate and to go their ways rather than resolving the issue that was there. We've said many times, if you look across our land, all the churches that are plop here and there, and how many of them are born out of conflict within other churches. But here, between Abraham and Lot, you see how that Lot began to separate from Abraham. And it wasn't totally Lot's fault, because Abraham come up to him and said, "Let's separate, let's go our separate ways." But as Lot began to separate, in verse number 11, you see how that, let me back up to verse number 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Lot wanted some of that independence. He wanted to be on his own, if you'll have it. He wanted to do his own thing, go where he wanted to go, and do what he wanted to do. But that's not how that it should have transpired. And we probably all wanted this at some time or another, but at what expense are we willing to do that independence? Because I want to tell you this morning, if you look through the Word of God, I don't believe you'll find where it says to be an independent Christian, to do it all on your own. You've got to do it with Christ, and you've got to do it with other like-minded believers. We can't do it on our own. But Lot felt that he could do it on his own. But if we could do it that way, why in the world would Paul say in Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 2, to bear you one another's burdens? He doesn't say to bear your own burden. He says to bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So the first link that Lot began to get weak and it actually eventually broke was that he chose to separate from like-minded believers. He chose to separate from Abraham, from his own uncle. But the second link that came into place was that Lot looked at the valley. He began to look across the Jordan Valley and he said, "Wow, that looks pretty good. That looks like that'd be some good land for crops and for the cattle and for the herds." He looked across it and he saw the physical beauty that was there. And he looked toward Sodom, but he never once looked toward God. Hear me again. Lot chose to look toward Sodom, but he never looked toward God. At least not in this juncture in time. Generally, everybody, I'm going to pull for Brother Michael this morning. Everybody look at me. He said that a lot this week, and I caught on to that. And I promise I won't repeat this a lot, but look up here. How many of you have ever got in a car? Most of you have, with the exception of Brian. Have you drove yet? Okay. And Zach and Lila Grace. How many of you have got behind the car and drove like this? Anybody? You know, you're looking that way and the car's going that way. It doesn't work too well. Something's going to happen if you don't turn pretty quick and get going looking where you're going. What I'm trying to get across at, Lot looked toward Jordan. He saw the physical beauty. He saw all that was there. And it attracted him. And you could say on the outside for legitimate reasons. It was the grass and the ground looked good. There's plenty of water. It was a Jordan Valley. But there was more to it than that. But that was what attracted Lot toward that area. He looked toward Jordan and toward Sodom, but he never once looked toward God to seek his direction. In other words, God wants us to look toward him, but you can't go toward God while you're looking in another direction. Say that again.
You can't go toward God while looking another direction. It'd be like trying to go toward Atlanta and looking toward Charlotte. It's not going to happen. You can't get there. But that's exactly what Lot chose to do. The second link in Lot's life was that he chose to look at the valley and its physical beauty instead of looking toward God. So the first link was that Lot chose to separate himself from Abraham. The second link was that Lot chose to look toward the valley and toward the physical beauty that was around him. But then the third link, and this is where it begins to get real dicey, was that Lot chose to start moving toward Sodom. He chose to start going in that direction. It wasn't enough to separate from the believers and from Abraham and from his family. It wasn't enough to separate from God. It wasn't enough to look in a different direction from God, but to look in the direction of Sodom. But then he chose to start moving towards Sodom. You see the progression, how it's going? How that he starts out easy, well, I'll just separate a little bit, and well, I'll go down there because it looks good. And well, you know what? I'll just start heading in that direction. See the path that it's going? The links that, if just one of those links had not broken, the devastation that Lot could have prevented in his own life. If just one of those. If he had not chose to separate. If he had not chose to look towards Sodom or toward the physical beauty. If he had not chose to start moving towards Sodom. All of those links, each and every one of them, have a domino effect. And if he had chose to not let one of those go, the devastation in his life and in his family's life, they could have been prevented if he had just chose not to break one. But the fourth one. As you begin to see through there, and as you read through a few more chapters in Genesis, and we'll not read through those, but as you read through those, Lot chose to set up camp just outside Sodom. Now, yesterday we went to our niece's birthday party. She turned, as we mentioned in Sunday school, she turned 16, and as we were there, we built a little fire in one of those outdoor wood heater things, whatever they're called. But we built a little fire. You know, if you get a little close to that thing, you come up missing a few hairs. You get a little singed. They'll say, when you get too close to fire, you're going to get burnt. Can I share that, dear? Oh, come on, dear, please. Let's just say Shauna was burning some brush a few days ago, and she got a little too close. And she smelled something burning. And it wasn't my hair, it was her hair. So what I'm saying, and I'm saying that to say this, Lot chose to go towards Sodom. He chose to separate from Abraham. He chose to look on the physical aspect of everything and go in that direction. He said, I'll camp next to Sodom. I won't go and be a part of them, but I'll camp right beside them, and I can partake of the fringe benefits, if you'll have it. You know, if you live close to a city, you get trash service, and you get a quicker fire department and quicker police service and all that. So he said, I'll live real close, but not in the city. I'll live right on the edge, but just not quite in it. My friend, I want to tell you, you live real close to fire, you're going to get burnt, and that's exactly what he did. He could live close to it, but he would be able to withstand the temptation of going into the city, but he would live real close to it. He longed for Sodom. In other words, he began to desire what Sodom offered. He looked at it. Boy, it looked enticing. And he wanted just a little bit of it, and he chose just to go in and live right beside it, but not go into it. He liked what they offered, and he chose to pitch his tent in that direction. If you look where Abraham went, he went in the other direction. How many of you have ever said, well, there's nothing really wrong with fill in the blank? Let me throw something out there. If you ever have to say, well, there's nothing really wrong with it, that's like saying it was just a little white lie. It's still a lie. And it's still wrong if you say, well, there's nothing really wrong with it. My friend, that's a lie. It's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie. If you have to say it's nothing really wrong, then there probably is something really wrong with it. We're just not wanting to see it. And Sodom, or Lot, didn't want to see that there was something really wrong with living in Sodom. Going in that direction. When we do the same, we begin to live in the world and be a part of the world. You say that you would never give in to that temptation. I would never do that.
I would never steal, cheat, and murder, do any of that. You can fill in the blank. I would never do that. I bet you Lot said he'd never live in Sodom either. So I'll just live on the outside, but not go in. Church, and I quote this, if we do not have the love, if you do not have the love of the world taken out of your heart, then the same love of the world will one day destroy your heart. Let me say that again. If we do not have the love of the world taken out of our heart, that same love of the world will one day destroy our heart. That's four links. Now let's look at the fifth link. And you probably already know what it is. Sodom lived in Sodom. Lot lived in Sodom. You see, you look through all those. The first link was he separated from Abraham. The second link was he looked on the physical aspect of it and saw the beauty of it. The third link is he started moving towards Sodom in that direction. Just a little step here, a little step here, just moving in that direction, not quite there yet. Then he chose to live outside of Sodom, but boy, just right on the edge. He could hear all that was going on, all the music, all the good stuff and the bad stuff alike. He could hear it, and then he finally said, "You know what? There's probably nothing wrong with living in Sodom, Brother Lord. I can just go and better yet, Brother Virgil, I'll be a missionary to Sodom. I'll go and I'll be a great witness and a great missionary to them, and I'll lead them to the Lord." If you read right after what Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1 and 2, I believe you'll find where Paul said, "Be careful lest you fall." And that's exactly what happened to Lot. And I'm probably not telling you anything you don't already know. Rather than deliberate on what would please the Lord, Lot chose to go and live in Sodom, the area that he knew was not pleasing to God and was not according to the will of God. Maybe even thought he could be a witness. But there was great appeal to Sodom in the fact it was easy living. The water was fresh. The fields were green. You plant your seed and boom, it just grows. There's nothing you can do about it. It's almost as if to say they threw Miracle-Gro everywhere and everything's going to grow. And that's how it looked to Lot. But I want to tell you this, you got Miracle-Gro everywhere, there's going to be more than vegetables that grow. There's going to be a few weeds that grow up too. And that's what happened in Lot's life. Lot got entangled with the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it began to take its toll on him. But the excitement, the easy living, but it made Lot blind to the cost of sin. Because there's always a cost. Always. I'm sure you've said, or your mom or grandpa or whatever have always said, nothing is free. It costs. Everything does. How many of you got those telemarketer calls and say, "Matthew, why don't you just come and stay over here, and we'll give you a 3-day and 2-night stay for free." And then you read the fine print. "Oh, but you got to sit through this 90-minute conversation where we want to sell you something." Boy, they throw on the pressure too because they want you to buy it. That's exactly what Satan does. He says, "Come on, it's free. The excitement, the joy, the fun, it's wonderful over here. I'll only talk to you for 90 minutes and you can go do whatever you want to do." Well, that's what Lot did, and it cost him greatly. The results, Lot chose to live in Sodom. And I just want to read a few things as a result of what happened. He became part of the community and it had some major ramifications upon his family. Number one, Lot lost his wife. That's a pretty big ordeal. Number two, Lot lost his married daughters and son-in-laws. We tend to look at the story and we only see the daughters that left with him and his wife out of the city. But if you read a little bit deeper, you'll see where he had other daughters. Because it mentions his son-in-laws and his daughters. For there to be son-in-laws, there's got to be daughters. And they stayed behind in Sodom and Gomorrah. And they made a mockery of Lot and said, "You're crazy." So he lost his wife. He lost his daughters and his son-in-laws. He did the two daughters that he kept and that left with him. They ended up doing an incestuous relationship with Lot. Just horrible things that came out of this, all because Lot let one link of the chain break. Just one. So I'll look at that just a little bit and go a little bit deeper. He lost all of this. In the end, Lot lost his health. He lost his wealth. he lost most of his family, and I would imagine it'd be easy to say he lost peace of mind and heart, all because of this. And to beat all that, he lost his spiritual heritage because he chose to look at Sodom and Gomorrah and go in that direction. Because you see, he was walking hand in hand with Abraham and Sarah. He was going in that direction. He was going in the right direction. I could just imagine that Abraham had trained him and maybe helped him and shown him some things. And let me tell you what the Lord has shown me today. And he was going in that direction, but then he chose, no, I'll go this way. And Abraham was generous. I mean, Abraham said, tell you what, Lot, you pick any direction you want to go. You go that way, I'll go this way. You go that way, I'll go this way. Whatever you want. That's how loving that Abraham was toward him. And he chose to let him, you have the pick of the litter. And he did. He should have chose again. And I bet if he could have done it again, he would have picked differently. How many of you could say you've had times in your life you would have picked differently? I can. He let all five links of that chain break. Every one of them. And it cost him greatly. Lot could have been enjoying the blessing of Canaan land with his uncle Abraham, but he didn't. He chose instead to go toward Sodom. He chose instead to go toward the plains of Jordan, and he ended up paying the price for his compromise. And it cost him greatly. The summary, to sort of sum this up, you know, we began to bring it into today's day and time. We began to separate from the fellowship. We see something else. We set our focus on it, and we head in that direction. We then begin to move toward it to the point that we say, well, we'll just get close to it, but we'll not move there to it yet, quite yet. But then after a while, we decide, well, why not? Let's just go live there. The result is that we begin to be taken prisoner, and we can't get out. If you read the rest of the story of Lot, in the next couple of chapters in Genesis, you'll see where Lot was actually taken prisoner. The kings went out to battle. And word got back to Abraham that Lot had been taken captive, as well as a lot of other people. You see, that one escaped just short of his life. And he went and he told Abraham and said, I want to tell you that Lot, your kindred, he's been taken captive in his family. That's what I'm here to tell you this morning. I can tell you by the grace of God, and I mean this with all sincerity, that I too would be just like that, escaping just by the grace of God to warn you that the chains, they're getting a little weak, and you need to shore them up and make sure that they don't break. Because if they break, the consequences are great. But you see, God could have easily have said, let's leave Lot as a prisoner. Let's leave Lot, Brother Virgil, down there with all those other captives. But he didn't. But for the love of Abraham, because you remember, God sent, and Jesus was probably there as well, went and talked to Abraham. And you remember how God said that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham started out with the number, and I'll get the numbers mixed up. We'll just say 50, and say, well, if I find 50 righteous men, will you keep from destroying it? And he said, sure. And he went all the way down and got to just a handful. And then the very next chapter, you see where those two angels went to Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot met them. And he encouraged them to come into his house. And he came into his house. And as they come into his house, the people, the men of the city had grown so wicked that they wanted to have relations with the angels. Inappropriate relations. And Lot, and this shows you how far Lot had gone. It was to the point as if I would say, well, here, you take my daughter Hannah. Just don't take these men. You see, he cared more about the men than he did about his own family. He cared more about people he didn't even know than his own daughters. That's going pretty far. But see, God didn't leave him there. If you look over, and I'm sure you know the story, and you've heard the story, in Genesis chapter 19, verse number 16, when it comes down to all this, and as they get ready for the morning, the angels have blinded those that were at the door and said, you need to get your stuff ready, Lot, because we're leaving. We can't destroy this land until you're out of here, you and your family. Well, then in verse number 16, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Praise be unto God that God chose to be merciful to Lot and to his family, even though Lot was still lingering and said, I got to pack a few more things. I might need this, I might need that. And he lingered just a little bit longer. God picked him up by the hand and he took him out of the land because he was merciful to him. He could have left him there. But in his love and his mercy and his grace, he led him out of captivity and led him out of sudden destruction because it was coming. It was guaranteed he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He had already said it. Just as much as sin will destroy me and you, he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he did. And you know the story, how that after that, how that the angels told him to, you need to go up and escape to the mountains. He said, no, I can't do that. I'm too tired, I'm too weak. Let me go over here to this city. The city being Zoar. And he went over there for a little while. But then it says he fled from there. I think it's in verse number 30. Somewhere just a little bit lower on down. Yes, in verse number 30. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains. And his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. He eventually made it to the mountains. Eventually made it to the mountain where God had told him to go in the first place. But oh, the path that it took him to get there. Lost his wife, lost his daughters, lost all that he had. We hear on the news today of the volcanoes that erupted, or the volcano that erupted, and the earthquakes that happened over in Nepal. If you've seen any of the devastation, it's pretty massive. They lost a lot. Everything they had. That would be Lot. He literally left with the clothes on his back and the family that he could hold on to. And in the process, lost his wife because she still chose to look back. You see, she kept looking back toward the area God was calling her out of. She kept looking back and eventually got turned to a pillar of salt. Now, we could speculate all day long what caused Sodom and Gomorrah to do that, how God destroyed them. We could say it was a volcano. We could say it was earthquake. We don't know. And the point is, they had grown so wicked that God pulled his people out, that being Lot and his family. But Lot chose to go there to begin with. He let those links of the chain break. One by one, he got a step closer, then a step closer, and then a little bit closer. And eventually, he was there. And there was no difference between him and the rest of the people. If we're not careful in our walk of faith, we'll go in the same direction. But you see, the choice is completely yours. It was Lot's choice. Abraham gave him the choice, said, you pick. You go whichever direction you want to go. So I ask you this morning, is there any weak links in the chain? Any weak spots in the armor? As Paul mentioned in Ephesians chapter number 6, he talks about the armor of our faith and all the armor that we're to wear. Because I want to tell you, the devil knows exactly where your weak spots are. How do I know that? Because he's hit mine several times. See, he knows. But if you're looking for it, it's like going back to Miss Carol and her truckers. If they know that chain's a little bit weak, they're going to watch it and make sure. If it looks like it's starting to sag the least little bit, well, they're going to go tighten that up because they don't want to lose control. Because you lose control of the cargo, you're either going to lose the cargo or you're going to lose yourself. See, that's the same way in life. If you're on guard, watching for those weak links to make sure that they don't break. Because if one breaks, it doesn't matter how strong the rest of the chain is, your chain's broken. But the choice is yours. Which way is your tent pitched this morning? Abraham pitched his tent toward Bethel. Lot chose to pitch his tent toward Sodom. One ended in pretty good. One ended pretty bad. the choice would be yours. God had great mercy on Lot. Imagine what Lot could have experienced if he had chose to go with Abraham. But the result was his. I mean, the outcome, part of it was based on his choice, what happened. And he had to live with that for the rest of his life. What about you this morning? The first link that needs to be inspected is the link of salvation. Brother Clinton, musicians, if you'll come. The link of salvation. If that link has not been there, if that link is not there at all, then you've got to be saved. Or you'll be just trying harder and harder and harder in like spinning in the mud with two-wheel drive. You're not going to get anywhere. But if that link is sure, look at the other links in your life. Are any of them gotten weak and they need to be shored up this morning? I encourage you to inspect yourselves and to see, Lord, have I grown weak? Because I want to tell you, when you hit those mountaintops, like we have during revival, Satan wants his dead level best to get you back down in the valley of despair. To get you back down, away from the glory of God, away from the presence of God, back down wallowing in the mud as quick as he can. But if we watch, that may not happen. If you walk close with the Lord. If you have a need this morning, the altar's open. Brother Clint, what's your number?
Red Book, number 90.
Let's all stand.